over the course of the years, you know, we've had a lot of folks just chime in and give us an idea of exactly what was going on. And so with the national press has spoken to this, everybody and their brother has spoken to this as well. Long time, just a friend of the program, somebody that we've had the opportunity to speak to numerous times in the past. She's been on this program. She's broadcasted from this very studio. You guys are very well aware of her. She's probably the hottest thing in talk news this day. Laura Ingraham from Fox News is going to join us now to give her opinion on what exactly happened here in the state of Alabama. Good morning, Laura. How are you?
Hey, Mike. Good to talk to you. Well, we were on the air on the Ingraham angle last night when the news broke that Jones was going to take this race. And immediately, the left and the Never Trumpers would triumphantly declare that this is essentially the end of conservative populism. Now, this is typical of what the left does. They misread the electorate time and again. They misread a very unique set of circumstances in Alabama, which, as I tweeted out last night, Roy Moore is probably the only prominent Republican in the state of Alabama who could have lost to Doug Jones. I mean, he came in fourth in the gubernatorial race against a very weak Robert Bentley, who himself ended up being disgraced. You know, he was removed from the bench twice as part of the political theater that he became used to. And the idea that substance had anything to do with this is preposterous. The Trump agenda, I wrote this book called Billionaire at the Barricades. It's all about the populist revolution from Reagan to Trump. It just came out shortly ago. And in this book, I tell the story of how we as a nation have just been hammered by globalization and open borders and unnavigable trade deals that end up completely deep-sixing the middle class. All of those issues that Trump ran on are not only still popular, but vital to be addressed during his time in office. And the idea that the people of Alabama have suddenly like glommed on to and are now supporting open borders, you know, ridiculous trade deals like NAFTA is preposterous. Donald Trump's agenda in Alabama remains probably as popular as it was when he was elected. Unfortunately, the governor decided to, you know, call a special election instead of handling this in a general, normal primary system, which I think Roy Moore never, you know, would have been able to dominate. But, you know, a lot of circumstances went into this, but this has zero to do with the viability of the views of Donald Trump on substantive issues and everything to do with the confluence of circumstances unique to Alabama, Roy Moore's history, these allegations, and, of course, a Republican Party that was half in, half out, or downright hostile to the ultimate Republican nominee here.
Well, you know, Laura, I couldn't possibly agree more with that. And, you know, there's been 20,000-plus write-in voters here in the state of Alabama, and many people are taking that as some kind of a repudiation of Trump's policies and that it was a vote for Doug Jones, when in actuality, from what we can tell, the write-in candidates or the write-in votes were more a matter of not so much of what Roy Moore, a future with Roy Moore would look like, but a repudiation of the Roy Moore of the past. And I'm not speaking to the allegations. I'm speaking exactly what you're talking about. There are people here that just could not pull the lever for him.
No.
And so, you know, and you're exactly right. People don't understand what's going on in the state of Alabama because the Trump agenda is vibrant here.
No, not he's wildly popular. And let's face it, Richard Shelby's very popular in the state. He's helped transform Alabama's economy, brought a lot of bacon back home to the state over the years. And Richard Shelby's late comment about this race, basically telling people it's okay if you don't vote or if you vote for Moore, you're still a good conservative. I think that really hurt Moore in the home stretch. I don't know if it made the difference, but it certainly lost Moore votes. But look, I was for Mo Brooks. I endorsed Mo Brooks in the special election. So that was my in the primary. So that was he was my guy. He would have won easily. He would have won handily. He's a Trump Republican, even though he didn't support him in the primary for a variety of reasons. He ultimately, you know, was a huge supporter of Donald Trump in the general election, and he would have run away with this. But, you know, coulda, shoulda, woulda. Yeah, I think the move now for conservative populists is that, and this is like toward the end of my book, I make this point, you have to pick your battles. you can't fight everyone at once. And if the business community, the Republican business community, is aligned against you, you better have a great candidate who can peel off some of their support and bring it toward a more, you know, populist focus. But in this case, the business community was all against Moore, and a lot of the Republican leadership obviously was against Moore, and the entire media establishment, all the extra money that went in. That's not a fight you want to pick, in my view, which is why I never came down and campaigned for Roy Moore. I never endorsed him. Maybe call it women's intuition, but there's always something about Roy Moore I didn't care for. That was just my personal. It has nothing to do with the policies he might have been in favor of. But this is zero to do with Donald Trump's agenda viability, except that he loses, you know, a critical vote in the U.S. Senate. But there's no constituency for open borders and endless global trade deals and perpetual war. There's just no constituency right. for that.
Now, let me ask you a question since you brought this up. As you well are aware, you know, Sebastian Gorka was down here. Bannon was camped out in Alabama. We had Sarah Palin down here and a whole bevy of others that Jan Morgan was also here. Does this appear to you as perhaps, you know, damaging to their political careers or insights? Does it speak to the lessening effect of endorsements? Because anybody that has any political weight whatsoever was here, to, at least in terms of who they could get down here and their perception of the hard right Christian conservatism. Because I was always perplexed by the number of people that came here, and I just didn't know that it would be beneficial, and it's proven that that's the case. Is that damaging to yeah. them?
Well, I think, again, I don't know. We'll see about that. But I think it's more about picking your battles. Luther Strange or Mo Brooks, especially Gary Palmer, who I think would be a great senator, these guys would be with Trump 98% of the time. I mean, the idea that, like, Roy Moore is just a very unpopular person in those critical, you know, Vestavia Hills, Woodmont, all these areas that are very, you know, upscale. These women are not going to pull the lever. About my dogs, are not going to pull the lever for Roy Moore. They're
right.
just not. I mean, they just were not going to hold their nose for him. He is, and again, it's just the way it is. He was probably, and I'll say it again, probably the only prominent Republican in the entire state who couldn't beat Doug Jones, and that's the guy the Republicans end up rallying behind.
Right.
So it makes little sense when you look at it. But this idea that Donald Trump's really gotta do some soul searching about his agenda. I'm hearing these bozos on MSNBC say this today. That is just, it's like wishful thinking, kids. Well, I don't think so.
Well, it's coming out of the woodwork. You're absolutely right about that. And not to put you on the spot, I ask you to speculate. When all this started yeah. going down, a lot of people were asking, and I know that you have, a lot of people don't know this, but you have a relationship to the state. You've been here many times before. I know that you've got family and friends in the area, and I yeah. also know that you happen to be friends with Gary Palmer. Any prattlings yeah. on your end? Have you heard any? Because there's a lot of folks down here talking about Palmer in 2 years.
Yep. I tweeted about it last night. You know, I'm not going to declare who I'm going to be supporting, but I think Gary Palmer is just, you know, he is classic Alabama. I mean, he's conservative, he's smart, he's patriotic, hardworking, believes in entrepreneurship, believes in the rule of law, is fair to all people. I just think he's a phenomenal person. In addition to, I think I would be a really strong candidate. So I think look, Doug Jones is a lame duck candidate from day one. He has zero chance of getting reelected unless the Republicans decide to renominate Roy Moore in 2020.
We're having a conversation with Laura Ingram. Laura, I know that you're terribly busy. I appreciate you popping in this morning to share your thoughts on this. Before I let you go, I'll tell you, a lot of folks in the state of Alabama are wounded. They're licking those wounds. A lot of folks have woken up this morning beyond startled. Can you speak to them about the future of where Alabama goes from here in terms of how to best manage the next 2 years under a Doug Jones administration?
Yeah, I think it's never fun to lose. You know, I was clerking at the Supreme Court for Justice Thomas when Bill Clinton won in 1992. I remember when Mitt Romney lost in 2012, all these people were coming on my radio show at 9 a.m. saying it's over for conservatism, we'll never come back, the country's lost. Yeah, it's never lost. The battle goes on. We as individuals are preceded by generations of Americans who had much bigger struggles, much tougher roads to hoe, than we do. And it's time to, you know, get up, do the things that you know that are most important in taking care of your family, advocate for the views that you care about, and don't let anyone push you around about, you know, what the significance of all of this is. Alabama is a red state. And was hit by a tornado of special circumstances that, you know, in retrospect, it could have been avoided. But it means nothing except we're going to, you know, learn a tough lesson this time about picking the right fights and the right candidates. And I think all is going to be well. And, you know, the president's going to have to, in a way, it might make the president better at strategy and more careful about endorsements.
Well, he's definitely walked back his support of Roy Moore in the last 24 hours. Laura Ingraham, yeah. Laura, the Ingraham Angle, Fox News, a radio program as well. Laura, thank you so much for your time. Wonderful as always.
All right, Michael. Great to talk to you. Take care.